It is all about becoming powerful in prayer. It is all about standing in the sight of God and knowing, well, His breath, His presence, His Spirit dwelling within you. Can you imagine a greater place in the sight of God, of Christ Jesus, of the elect angels? Can you imagine a greater name? The universe depends on the sustaining presence power of God. It was the power of God that raised Christ from the dead. It was the power of God that caused the conception, the incarnation of Christ. It's the power of God that saves, the power of God that is in the name of Jesus. My dear friend, have you read James chapter 5? Have you read about the potential power of a great prayer warrior? I'm going to read right now to James chapter 5. It's incredible to hear these words. It's the end of verse 16, chapter 5. It's these words, quote, "The prayer of a righteous man," the prayer of a righteous believer, I would say, "is powerful and effective." Powerful and effective. Can I ask you again, do you know the power of God in prayer? Do you know that you can become powerful in prayer? There is an incredible demonstration of this again in the Old Testament, Daniel, Moses. In the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 4, they raised their voices together to God in prayer and they sought God's power. They wanted boldness. They quoted scripture. And you know what happened? Great power of God fell on them and all around them. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Why not? Why not realize today, dear believer in Christ, that it's the power of God that saved you? You couldn't be saved without it. Paul said it in the sight of all of Rome, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation." We talk about the power being clothed with the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit. We can talk about the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, that it's powerful, that it's alive, that it's living. And I want you to know right now, there's great power in prayer. It's the place of great miracles. Because of prayers, God moved, the hand of God moved, the power of God came. Earthquakes occurred, signs and wonders have occurred, angels have been sent, and God exerted His power. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about you and I as believers, that we are to experience and to know that we have the incomparably great power. It is unprecedented. It is unequaled. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God, the power of God, even 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so when we talk about prayer, when we talk about standing in the presence of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence, God holds infinite power. Infinite is His hand to stretch, to reach. And please understand, as we've said in the series so far, that God designed prayer to be where answers will come about. God designed prayer that we would be fruitful in it. God's behind it. God's backing it. God seeks our success, our fruitfulness in the area of prayer. Can I ask you, are you fruitful? Do you know any answers lately? I've said in the beginning, I'll say it all the way through, prayer is all about the answers. Worship is the privilege, you know, embracing God, talk to God, yes, but when we get into intercession, where the Spirit of God is the Spirit of prayer and intercession, moves on us, guides us, when God calls us to pray, when we're called to advance the kingdom of God, His will be done, His kingdom be done on earth as it's already been decided and being done and done in heaven. We don't decide God's will, we implement We'll talk about that in session four. Right now, it's about God's power. I would pray that you and I, by the Spirit of power, by God's grace, that we would have power to grasp the depth of the power of prayer, the incredible history, the immediacy of the inseparable right now indwelling. Could you have a greater indwelling? Is there something beyond God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling permanently within you? Is there something greater than the living Christ dwelling in you? And the love, the joy, the peace, the fruit of the Spirit of God? Can there be something greater than being clothed with power from on high? Or any writings that would surpass the Word of God that is animated, saturated by the living power of God? And God calls us to prayer before the throne of grace. God calls us to pray so that miracles, so that God's agenda, so that God's will, so that answers can come. You can pray with power. You can become powerful in prayer. You can be known as someone who can go to God and get the answers. It may be that God, you're looking for wisdom. God gives you wisdom. You're looking for leading. God gives you leading. Look at James 1, the promise of wisdom. Look at Isaiah 48, 18 and 19, that this awesome Holy One, this Redeemer, teaches us what is best and leads us in the way that we should go. Yes, God does a lot of things in the context of prayer. And I think that the world, the flesh, and the devil, and our lack of sheer, simple faith in the power of prayer keeps millions of believers whittled down, suppressed to just a few moments here and there. Some just a few areas of crisis praying when they need to cry out. Others devotional prayers that last 3 minutes. What about massive intercession that seeks God for the advance of his cause, the salvation of souls, the lighting up by the presence and power of God of the church? What about using the authority of Christ in prayer to see dark powers as much as possible stopped, crushed, broken? What about signs, wonders, miracles? I mean, listen, when you look at the book of Acts, it's all about they're getting down. They are praying as powerful believers and with power and in power and powerful. Well, earthquakes occurred. Angels were sent. Iron barred gates were opened all by themselves. The dead were raised. A sorcerer, a Jewish sorcerer, was blinded by a mist coming over him as he tried to, well, pervert the right ways of the Lord. You look at the nation you live in. You look at the city you live in. You look at the area, the neighborhood. You look at the conditions, the unprecedented ramping up of, yes, the power, the dunamis, satanic powers unleashed. As never before, prophecy tells us, unprecedented levels, incredible, demonstrative, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. God didn't call us to sit back and watch. God didn't call us to sit back and perceive the satanic powers. They are to the world, to the flesh, to this fallen world. They are powerful. They are seductive. They are operative. But they are, no match for the living Christ, the authority of Christ, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the agenda of God. Listen, my dear believer in Christ, we need now to be down on our knees or to be standing with hands raised before this throne of grace. It is not just about getting answers. It is not just about, for ourselves, but God does that. And many times he blows us away by the way God answers things in our own lives. But we need to understand what can be done by a faithful, devoted prayer warrior. Will you become that? Will you dedicate yourself to morning prayer and then to evening prayer? Well, you decide now. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, God commands be devoted to prayer. When it says being watchful, the Greek word refers to looking for impending danger, dealing with the satanic stuff, the world, the flesh, and the devil out there. And then it says with thanksgiving. So devotion to prayer, how are you going to watch if it's not in the context of prayer time? Prayer time means you are in a conscious, awake, aware time of the presence of God. You are there. You are giving God time. You are opening the door for the Spirit of God to move. You are there in the presence of God to know and enjoy, and at times to be overwhelmed by the sheer beauty, brilliance, power, awesomeness of the living presence of Christ, of God. And in that time, as you worship, as you embrace, as you love God and as God loves you, then stand there and say, God, here am I. Use me as a prayer warrior. Use me to pray so souls can be saved. Churches can have revival. Believers can be protected. Evil can be crushed. Use me that politicians and government can be moved by your presence and not the powers of darkness. Use me, God, to pray against the satanic rituals. Use me, God, to pray against the satanic seduction. Use me, God, to pray that our neighborhood, our church, our city, and even our nation would be struck by the manifest, undeniable presence, power of God that comes to save, to heal, and to deliver. Now, we've mentioned that it takes the power of God to save. Think about it. Whosoever calls on the name of Jesus can be saved. When any human being that hears the gospel then cries out, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. The living Christ comes in. The devil's chains are broke. Sin is totally forgiven. Sin's code is rendered powerless. You're transferred from the dominion of Satan to the kingdom, the realm, the rule of God. Colossians chapter 1. You know, so much happens at the moment of salvation. Jesus comes in, the love floods in, the forgiveness floods in, the gift of eternal life, all based on what occurred at the cross. Power in the blood, power at the cross, power at what Christ has done. It takes the power of God in the conception, in the birth, in the raising. Even Jesus, before launching out in ministry, as prophesied out of Isaiah 700 years in advance, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. The preaching, the healing, the deliverance, the opening of eyes, the crushing of the evil one, because of the sovereign power of God. And Jesus said you would be clothed with this power of the Holy Spirit, that power would be dwelling within you. You would have power with God in prayer. You would have the power of the Word of God. May God express and bring revival to and bring a spirit of wisdom and revelation to all of us about the incredible power there is in prayer. Power to save. What about healing? Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And when it comes to deliverance, when it comes to raising the dead, when it comes to the signs and wonders, when it comes to charismatic giftings and workings, again, the power of God is expressed. And we must realize not only is this the infinite, superior, uncontested, this is the power of God, and the power of God is inseparable from His presence. His presence is the power. His power is His presence. When you feel power, it is God. When power is all over you in prayer, it is God. It is the Spirit of God. It is He, the Holy Spirit, gonna speak, gonna guide, gonna burden, gonna awaken you, gonna lead you, gonna overwhelm you. the heart of God released in the context of prayer, that, my dear friend, is very, very powerful. And it's about getting answers. As we mentioned, Acts 4, they raised their voices. They didn't play around. They stood, they kneeled, they raised their voices in the immediacy of the presence of God. And they believed what Jesus said: ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. How much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask? Dear believer in Christ, may the Spirit of God shake us, wake us, and make us aware. May He convict us of all sin to repent of and get out of our lives. May He make us aware of unbelief or doubt in our lives that we might repent. May He lead us to joyful, dedicated faithfulness in prayer, devotion to prayer. You know, if we believed what God says about prayer, it's astounding, isn't it? Why wouldn't we be there praying? If salvations and healings and deliverances, if angels will be dispatched, earthquakes occur, the hand of God move, if the dead could be raised and prison bars unjustly locked be opened, would we not pray? The simplicity of ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open. Listen, let's repent of using our past failure or weakness in prayer as our theology of prayer, and get back to the Word of God and listen to the Spirit of God and honor the name and the authority and the power of the gift of using Jesus' name in prayer. I'm going to mention again James chapter 5. It is astounding. It is amazing again. To see the words that talk about, well, and an effectual presence, an effectual power, there is one word used there. It is an incredible word that refers to a kind of, expressed power, where there is strength in prayer, a prevailing in prayer. There should be perseverance in prayer is really faith in action. It is our believing that God rewards those who earnestly seek. And it's impossible to please God without faith. If you believe God, you will go. If you believe God, you will ask. If you believe God, you will seek. If you believe God, you will knock. And just like Jesus said, you'll receive, you'll find, and doors, even today, can be opened. I go back to Psalm is incredible, chapter 68. Have you read that? The incredible Psalm that speaks about, a summoning of God's power. I want to read these words. It's Psalm 68, starting in verse 28. And the prayer warrior, in the context of fellowship, in the context of declaring the good, compassionate care of God in this chapter, says in verse 28, as we should all be saying in this critical hour, summon your power, O God, show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. Amazing. Why don't you memorize verse 28, Psalm 68? Summon your power, O God, show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. There is an incredible request, verse 30, rebuke the beast among the reeds, the herd of bulls among the calves of the nations, in reference to the raging sinfulness and even demonized opposition to God, His will, His people. Scatter the nations who delight in war. This is a prayer that involves praying about nations, about war. Have you read that? Have you read verse 34 on down? Let me say verse 33. Listen, look what it says. It says, to him, God, to him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice, proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel, well, the God of his people, the God of believers in Christ, gives power and strength to his people. I've got to read it again. In verse 28, summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. Verse 33, to God who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. And if you're a believer down in prayer right now, you've got to understand something. You are the sanctuary of God, the naos, the temple. Right there, right now, you can worship. You can close your eyes. The full presence of your living Savior before a throne of incredible grace, mercy, and power. Oh, dear believer, if you've read James at all, James chapter 5, you'll know this. You're going to know that as you read the chapter, as you read the whole thing. Oh, I tell you, listen, it's talking about, is anybody in trouble? Pray. Anybody sick? Pray and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And they'll be healed. Sins are forgiven. Confess your sins. Listen, pray that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous believer is powerful. It is strong. It is effective. In verse 17, when the Spirit of God brings in the Old Testament example, Elijah was a man, kathos, just exactly like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. He prayed again. He prayed. The heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I mean, in the call to prayer, in the declaration that a believer can be, a believer walking with God, walking in the Word, a righteous believer, listen, you will be powerful in prayer and just like Elijah, no different than the great prophet Elijah. He's a man just exactly like us. You can pray like Elijah. You can pray like Moses, like Daniel, like Peter, like Paul, like Stephen. You're called to it. You're called to it. Power in prayer. May the Spirit of God summon you today. May the Lord Jesus encourage you today. May the Word of God give you the ability to stand with great expectation, great excitement, great courage. God wants you to pray this way. God calls you to pray in this kind of confidence. God doesn't want any unbelief and doubt and weak, anemic, Laodicean, pathetic prayerlessness. God would vomit that out of his mouth. Why don't you stand in total faith and press in and press on and stand there and pray and be guided and feel the power of heaven move you and guide you. Oh, dear sweet saint. It's the call of God, a call of the Word of God. It's what you can be, what you need to be. You are needed for an hour such as this. My dear friends, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, in the series Becoming Powerful in Prayer.